Charity has no timetable. Goodness is always found within a context. It is never in isolation. The name of Mother Teresa of Calcutta is on the lips of millions of people across the world, yet her work only achieved its prominence because there were others who were also prepared to give of their time and energy to work for the poor and the destitute. Two of these people were a young doctor by the name of Urmila and her husband Vasant, also a doctor. Their daughter, Vidula Tower di Glentier, now married to an Italian and living in Rome, speaks of the situation in which her parents and Mother Teresa worked.
Actually, as a baby, I used to go there with my mother, who used to help Mother Teresa at that time. My mother was a doctor, a gynecologist. My mother and father, they both came to Calcutta in 1947, after partition. We were originally from the state of Indore, and after partition, my father decided to come to Calcutta. Since both were doctors, they decided to buy a small little nursing home or something and, you know, start over a clinic or something and start working in Calcutta. But my father started working, but my mother thought that she should do some kind of social work. She thought that it was the, you know, need of the hour. I mean, you know, India was really bereft after, you know, in independence, and she really felt that I think the people had to put their hands together and create something, make India strong. I mean, that was, you know, how it was. They were living a magical moment of sorts, you know. They had got independence after a long, long struggle. So I was put into school, and over there in the school, they had a small group of nuns that started a kind of a club called Khairaberia, where they were helping destitute women. So initially, because I was at school, my mother had come there to pick me up, and then she realized that this was a good place, and we all went along with her to this place called Khairaberia, which was a center established by the Irish nuns, the Loreto nuns, to help destitute women and sort of to give them a chance to do something that could be then sold. And they would be able to earn something to keep themselves together virtually, because you know how it is in India in those days, even to some extent, perhaps even today. You know, if you're thrown out of your family, or your husband dies, or you're, you know, in any form a destitute woman, nobody wants you, neither your family, neither your husband's family, neither society. So you have nowhere to turn to. And these were the women that initially, you know, they wanted to give them some kind of succor, some kind of hope. So the only way they knew that if they were independent and had some money, perhaps it would have been easier for them to be able to face society. About that period, about the same period, about 51 or 50, I don't remember the dates actually, Mother Teresa had left Loreto College, where she was teaching, and she had come to Loreto in Italy, which is another Loreto. But it's not the very exclusive kind of a school. It was more for the poorer children. And it was established in an area that was extremely poor, where there were a lot of slums around, and Mother Teresa decided, no, I've got to help out here. I better do something here, because otherwise these poor children will have no chance. So that's how she started first the orphanage, first to look after the women who were, teach them hygiene. And then she started looking around to start mobile hospitals, small thing, where she could take they converted, I remember, a bus once, and they made it into a kind of a hospital, and they wanted to just go from village to village, teaching the women just simple hygiene. I mean, it seems a very big, you know, today it seems nothing, but just simple hygiene, teaching the midwives just to wash their hands before delivery.
But just that saved so many lives.
That saved so many lives. Taught, the mothers didn't know that. Didn't know that hygiene could be a killer.
Because they want their best
for the children,
yeah. For their families.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's only a tiny piece of information, like hygiene, that can save their lives.
My mother used to come back home, and we were, so by that time it was about 9 or 10 or whatever, and she'd say, you know, you can't believe it, that these people have no idea how to clean, how to do the babies are born in atrocious situations, in gutters, and thing. So, you know, with this initial thing, my mother became very involved in doing whatever social work she could do. And then she went into the prisons, and there she realized the same problem, that the women would actually commit a theft or commit a crime just to go to prison, where they'd be safe from their families, from their husbands, from mother-in-laws.
And where they could eat.
Where they could eat. Where they could do something. I mean, even though they were treated badly there, but at least their children could run around free in the park of the prison. And, I mean, it seems ridiculous. Most of these women were perfectly all right. There was nothing wrong. They had done one crime. But they were thrilled with that one crime because they were safe.
And it gave them dignity.
It gave them a lot of dignity. And then they started basket weaving in prisons, you know, all the thing. My mother, along with a lot of other women of that time, of course, got a lot of these women to learn how to basket weave, to do embroidery, to do stitching, to make things. Again, they used the same Kyriberia principle to start a little shop for selling these items. And that's how, you know, then we started to help these women in villages everywhere to be able to somehow or the other manage to make their own life. In fact, you won't believe it. I started years ago in the 70s a business of having a factory for making things. For, you know, exports from India was getting big at that time and so. And my mother insisted. She said, why don't you do embroideries? Now, there was another problem. There were the Muslim women there who were very good with embroidery, but their husbands wouldn't let them out of the house. So she used to insist that, no, you go into the villages, take your piece of cloth there, give it to them, ask them to embroider for you. And after that, you go there and recollect it, give them the money. These women don't have to leave the house, but at least they'll have money that's their own. Spending means going to the bazaar or going to the village fair and buying even hair clips or some flowers or anything, you know, a sari for themselves. But, you know, they had that because the husbands wouldn't give them a single penny, and that was the main thing. But this gives them that little strength. I mean, I know if you look at India and you say, oh, my God, it's so big, there's so many problems. And we're trying to, everyone's trying to solve it. But my mother always said that if the country has given you so much in education, you must give back something. You really must give back something to the country. Do something.
Yeah, but what's the thing you remember most about Mother Teresa?
Personally, I remember her saying to me once, I realized she'd become very tiny. I'd seen her after a number of years. I said, you're so small. I didn't realize you were so small. And she says, you know, important things are packed in tiny packages. So she said, remember that, always. You know, to me, she was a person I knew for ages and ages and ages. And, you know, she saw us grow up, and she knew us. She knew my mother, my father. You know, we were all part of the Calcutta scene of that time. We all were Calcutta. Calcutta at that time was a small group of people who were the educated, people who were socially conscious people. There were not many at that time.
To be able to go out into the gutters and bring people who were absolutely destitute to somewhere where they could have some dignity, that would take a lot of hard work.
Well, of course it takes work, especially with what she did for the dying. That takes a lot of work. And I've seen her doing that. I've seen her clean them. I've seen her talk to them. I've seen her doing that.
Well, where did she get all the resources?
Oh, I presume that people, I mean, anyone would give her money. Why wouldn't you? I mean, and she didn't even know where it was coming from, where it was. She had no idea of money. She really had no idea. She had absolutely no idea. She just knew it was there, and she always thought that somehow God would provide. She really believed, and very, very, very deeply she believed. She always said God would provide.
And she has left an enduring legacy in India. She's so much identified with India that it's almost difficult to remember that she wasn't actually an Indian.
She was Albanian. She's from Albania. Do you know, once she said that she actually had money and she actually started, did you know, I don't think you knew this. She gave money from the Missionaries of Charity in Albania to build mosques. And the Pope said to her, and this was her own story, she said, but why? Why do you want to build mosques over there? She said, because they were destroyed during the war, you know, in Albany. She said, but don't you think the people have to pray somewhere?
That's beautiful.
So, you know, that's what she was. As I said, you know, I mean, I can only tell you what I remember about her. As I said, and I know so little about her. These are the things I remember so clearly.
And your own parents who did so much, what do you think was their legacy?
Well, I know that the only great legacy both my parents had to me, to us, was, you know, always give. My father used to say you should be like a joss stick. He used to always tell me, like a joss stick. You should burn, but give perfume to others. And he always said that, remember that. So that, oh, you know, you can burn yourself, you can reduce to ashes, which you will be eventually. But at the same time, you've given a perfume. It's like a rose, he used to say. It lasts for one day, but look at the value it has. So that everything, you should be able to be in a position to give. The day you say you can give, forget about receiving. Receiving is not even if it doesn't come, it doesn't matter. But giving. And I think that is a very important, and that's about the only thing about my parents I've been able to always remember. And even today, whatever, I try and teach my children just that. Never be selfish. Never, never, never. Whenever you get a chance to give, even a smile. You don't know how important just a silly smile is. Everyone's nervous, normal, hysterical, traffic. It's just one smile, just one laugh. It's so little.